Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Aronimi Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
Sit back on your heels, turn through the abdomen.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Nice.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Don't you think your negativity's a little premature?
And Brandon Sprague.
Please, just shut up!
What's with the hostility, man?
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague, your Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend.
That's good shit right there.
Weather's been fantastic. It's going to be hot again today and tomorrow. We're cranking the AC on tomorrow. Might be north of 80 today and tomorrow.
AC is probably on.
You got to turn that bad boy on.
Begrudgingly, of course, but yeah, probably
on. A little bit in the afternoon, you know, then dial it back, open up the windows in the evening. Are we excited for the PGA Championship? Happy PGA Championship Week, everybody. Yeah.
Ready.
The least important major of all of them.
Is there any outcome that makes it more entertaining?
No.
Outside of Rory winning?
No.
That wouldn't even do
that
it?
That doesn't even really do it for me.
Rory winning back-to-back wouldn't do it for you?
Wouldn't really care.
Get to a, what would that be, six for him if he won?
I think so.
Six, yeah, because he was at four. No?
No, he's at six now.
He's at six now, so I give him a seven.
Yeah.
Two legs of the career, or the slam.
He'd
and the
break
season.
A tie with Lefty.
He
him
would.
And Scotty in the final group on Sunday.
That does
it. That would
it.
Be fun.
I mean, that's a good final, but like, what does the tournament? I mean...
Yeah, you need. This is one of those you need big names. Like, you're not going to get the riffraff crowd unless it's an
if
absolute.
If it's Cam Young and Matt Fitzpatrick.
No offense.
I'll see you later.
No offense.
You can let me know how it went.
Is there somebody that had, like, if Ricky Fowler
Ricky
had a chance
won
to finally win a major?
I was watching some golf
that
yesterday.
That do it for you?
The old cowboy was out there riding around the course.
You're not a golf fan.
Oh, hold on. First of all.
Not a golf. Big fan. Big
You're not
fan.
A golf fan.
He's turning this on you from your, he's still upset at your soccer takes from earlier.
He should be upset himself, not watching still, the sport and pretending he
now
is.
Now we have shots fired here. Can we get a ceasefire between you two? I know it's been a week since you've been together. All right, let's get a ceasefire, okay?
Look, if there
the
were
peace talks
the
commence.
Straight of Dirt and Swag now. All
You're not getting through my straight. I laid landmines in this bitch.
If we
PGA Championship week. How dare you,
if we grew up in the house together, we're definitely the brothers hitting each other with pillows in the face, and you're the one like, guys, calm down, man.
Not
don't make mom come in here.
What is the matter with you two?
That's the situation. Look, if Ricky got it, I'd tune into the final round. I just, it doesn't matter who it is or where it is. Like, this is just a major I could not care less about. I get more excited for the Players Championship.
You're not alone there. You know what helps Players Championship is that it's at the same course every year, so you know the course. We don't know a lot about Aronimink. They played the BMW Championship there in 2018. Who the hell knows what year? Yeah. So it's hosted stuff before. But
I was going to guess Shinnecock. I don't know.
We have
that's where the U.S. Open is.
Local, one of our local club pros, however, qualified.
I want to get him on.
Bryce Fisher out of Oregon City.
Somebody had a great...
He's at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
The pro at Arrowhead's playing in the PGA Championship?
I'm going to reach out to Arrowhead this week and see if we can get him on.
That would
he
be badass.
He was one of the 20 club champions. Your boy Michael Block back there.
Somebody had a great quote now that it is Monday of PGA Championship week, and it was in quotations, it says, it's Michael Block's time, and then it attributed the quote to Michael Block.
I mean, you hated that story.
Daddy's back, baby.
Of our evidence of you're a hater. Like, that
exactly.
was one of the more fun stories we've
had
in sports.
Get out of here. It was great for a couple of days. It was the aftermath of it that
he
became insufferable.
He hit a hole in one.
Nobody criticized it when it happened.
Playing with Rory McIlroy.
It was awesome. Wow. It was awesome.
You better not be this way if we get the Arrowhead guy on.
I'm not going to. Well, he's not going to be Michael Block because he's not a douchebag. But.
Have you.
There's no way. There's no way he's at the level
of Michael Block a douchebag.
If you don't think Michael Block,
everybody's waiting for like the back
coming out and saying
in the history.
He's coming out and saying, if only I could hit as long as Rory McIlroy and I'd be winning all these tournaments.
I mean, we saw him play with Rory McIlroy. He wasn't,
I mean, that's one of the douchiest things that's ever been uttered out of somebody's mouth.
So he stepped in it one time. Have you never said anything incorrectly?
I will also reiterate Swag's point, not a golf fan. I follow this a lot closer, and it's not just one thing from Michael Block. The week was great when he did it.
Michael Block, unbelievable.
90% of people in the golf world hate Michael Block, and he's become a punching bag, without a doubt.
90% of the world? 90%.
Did you see his post-interview from Bandon Dunes? You didn't. Guess what he did? He was like, let me shout out all the haters out there who didn't give me a chance to go win. Guess who's back in the top 20? Like, he has become a caricature of himself.
Why didn't we get him on? I know he's out of Bandon.
That's where they played the PGA Championship.
That's where they played the club championship.
That's where the event was, the qualified. Yeah, I watched every second of it. Yeah. It was great.
They played Bandon and Pacific.
Right now? Like, I'm Michael Block. Like, I'm hosting a show.
Well, it's this idea of, like, why would anybody not like him when you don't have the complete picture of why people would not like him?
But people like me don't know the Bandon quotes. And
that's the point.
But, yeah, you can't beat
Swag's point.
But Swag was not on my side here.
Not a golf fan. It's okay.
You know, like, Swag was on my side here.
Now we flipped.
You know why?
Now we're at war. Now my straits closed down. Get out of here. I'm psyched for the PGA Championship.
You know why you hate Michael Block and Swag agreed with me, right?
Right.
Because much like soccer, he's not paying attention.
Yeah.
But he's a sports fan of it all.
He's got a few more things going on his plate right now.
He does. He's got
a big
plate.
Look, 4 days was incredible. Like, the storyline will never be topped, a PGA champion or a professional playing in the tournament. Maybe not as douchey as some of the quotes came on and the aftermath of it, but he has become more of a villain's not the right word. He's more of a punching bag in the golf world now after the honeymoon phase was over.
So I guess a little bit of the story, and I want to get him on this week. I really do. Mm-hmm. If we can figure out a day when he's not traveling and whatnot. I guess the backstory of the guy at Arrowhead is that he doesn't get to play as much as he'd like.
Most pros don't get to play as much as they like. They're actually working.
He's like so talented and good that he just has an ability to just pull out.
Well, you're out there giving like, you clearly know the fundamentals of the game.
No, but it's hard in those pressure-packed tournaments,
and I would have thought, I think there was one other guy from the Northwest section up in Washington, maybe one or two that were in the top 20. Well, but they actually...
We're the big brother here. What do you mean?
No, I understand. But I would have thought the Pacific Northwest section guys had a big advantage because I think they play Bandon. Because there's a series of in the section that they have tournaments. You have to play in so many.
Right.
And I think
there's definitely a slight benefit.
Bandon's a regular on that. They have the section club championship or something. So
are they playing OG or are they playing Dunes?
They played both, I believe. Bandon was the main one. And
they played Bandon Dunes and I think Pacific Dunes.
Yes, I believe so.
Those are usually the two courses that everybody plays.
It was a lot of fun. It was on Golf Channel a couple weeks ago. Top 20 qualified to go do it. And the winner gets more exemptions than that. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. Into a couple other events as
something
well.
Something like that.
I would tune in if they could get. It's cool that they have like the amateur tours there. They got college kids that play it. They get these tournaments. These are cool. I would absolutely tune in if they could ever weasel their way into a PGA event just one time in my
be
life.
Remarkable.
Yeah, they just don't have any infrastructure for hotels and that many people to come. The thing that
they
should
need
be
the city
played there,
Bandon to build more hotels, man, so people can stay in
the event
commute.
That needs to be there is the Ryder Cup. Let's face it.
Yeah, if anything's built for it, it's definitely the Ryder Cup.
And I would love if they played each course one day. It would be awesome.
Oh, it'd be incredible. Can you imagine?
You can't play shoot. That's cheating.
Put a bunker in.
Literally anywhere. I mean,
top 10 public course in America. That's the only one. The views are incredible. That's the only one I'm like, God, it's last in my abandoned
power rankings.
I'm
happy to be there.
Oh, no doubt. Right? You walk over that first fairway and you're looking at the ocean.
But if they set it up and did a different course every day for the five sessions
there's
of it.
There's a couple holes on trails incredible. I'd love to watch those guys play. I know they dominate it, but there's a couple holes on trails that I was like,
well, but you're playing match play, so that necessarily doesn't matter. If you have a short par four where they can drive, you still have to execute a shot versus your opponent or your team, where it's not necessarily, you don't, if you had a regular 72-hole thing and they go out there and shoot 27 under par, that looks a little different. But if it's in match play, I think it would be stunning.
Some of the best memories of my entire existence as a human involve Bandon. So part of it's hard for me to watch on television.
Oh, making a birdie on 8 at Sheep Ranch, that's like, up there.
It makes me
dead into the wind.
It makes me want to be there too bad.
It does.
So it's hard for me to put it on my television. Like, I was just there 5 years ago.
I'm glad I got at least one defender. Michael Block would have been great if he stopped at the peak of his PGA getting a hole-in-one. He ruined himself by doing his YouTube tour. He's a douche. He's overdone it. He's extremely annoying. Thank you. Thank
I mean,
you.
Don't you have to kind of jump you. On the train?
I mean,
if you
I don't blame
it?
Him for jumping on the gravy train. I'm just telling you, that's why. It's like, come on, man.
I'm going to find a Michael Block hat that has Block letters.
Oh, I'm sure there's a Block
gonna,
he had
I'm
out
gonna
there.
I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it.
The Block party getting back in contention is my nightmare this weekend. Don't let it happen, Aronimic. Happy PGA Championship Week, everybody. Let's get to a couple of odds and ends. I have a... There's one league that exists out there that is basically just a Petri dish for everybody else, and I'm wondering... Will we ever get this in another league? I'll explain that a little bit more coming up in a bit. But we do have a couple of odds and ends out of the old National Football League that I would like to touch on.
Yeah.
And one, we'll see if this one gets Sprague. I've been hot and bothered about a lot today, so we'll see if this gets you hot and bothered. Are we excited for the opening Sunday Night Football game of the year in the NFL?
Not based on who I saw.
Have you been waiting all day for Sunday night? Well, I got news for you.
Most overrated theme song in football
history. That's now we're going to fight out for the show.
Just because you and your wife have sex to it doesn't make it good.
God, she's hot. My wife, that
is. Your wife is hot.
You sit around all day. You're waiting all day for Sunday night. Who pops on? How about them Cowboys? This was the most obvious pick of all time, was it?
They earned it.
John Harbaugh's first game as head coach of the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys, or the Dallas Cowboys. Your opening Sunday night game of the year has been revealed. I love that the NFL does this, so our schedule releases in 3 days.
Yes.
On Thursday. And now, like, every hour over the next 2 days, we're going to find...
Well, Wednesday
we
morning.
We do. Yeah. Oh, dude.
See, now the voice I want to hear. Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth. Get out of here, Carrie Underwood. Waiting all day to what? Kia car? We get it.
Kia car. That's a good country music poll right there.
Yeah, deep cut. That's a deep cut. Come on. Give me a little credit.
It's a bad take, but I'll allow it because that was a pretty deep cut right there.
You really still like that song?
I do. I love that song.
Really?
I literally turn it up in my living room every Sunday.
Doesn't she change the words?
I check my every week. It's new words, dude. You got to follow along.
So how do you see
what does she do?
There's buzzwords she goes to.
Oh, okay.
For a big time fight. There's, you know, she's always, you know, it's a little tweak depending on the city that you're playing in that week.
I wonder how many sessions she actually does.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because I'm sure, well, when do they start? When is the flex games available?
That's usually about halfway through the year, if I'm not wrong.
So
week
I bet
seven,
she does like
eight.
The first 10 weeks all at once, and then they do another session.
Yeah, as they start to get an inclination on who it may or may not be in the back half of the year.
But it's
just chuckled at this of like, yeah, of course. I mean, I'm going to be psyched for it. 800 million people will watch this game.
Right.
Harbaugh does make it more interesting, without a doubt. And you know how I feel about the Cowboys this year. I'm in on the Cowboys, which makes me uncomfortable. But this was like the most obvious pick of all time.
So, yeah, I mean, look, are we going to watch? Yeah, we're all going to watch. But are we excited about it?
No, we're not.
No.
Catch me up. While I was gone, I thought I saw or heard the Seahawks opponent
Bears.
Got
leaked.
Wilbon
leaked that it was Chicago.
He was on ESPN. He goes, yeah, they were breaking down the Bears. Like, could they be like a worse or same record but better? Sure. You know, it's going to be tough. They have to go out west, I think, in week one and play the Seahawks. And everyone's like,
it was just awkward silence. Everybody looking.
No,
at,
they kept letting. He kept talking, but everybody didn't. Nobody acknowledged what he said, and everybody's trying to bury it, move on, and act like it's going to be some big announcement. But it seems like it's going to be Caleb.
But
and
nobody
the Bears.
Came out and refuted it and said he's wrong.
No,
okay,
it has not been
because he's right. He probably knows somebody in the Bears. It was like we got to go to Seattle week one.
Yeah, he's been in Chicago forever. Like there's a connection there. So I'm going to chuckle every like 2 hours when we get a. By the way, week three Thursday night game.
So Wednesday morning
Atlanta.
On Good Morning America.
3 days.
So Wednesday morning on Good Morning America, they're releasing all of the international games.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, that's the next phase.
No one cares.
And then we got to do it in buckets, one piece at a time. I mean, look, this is how the NFL, like we talked about this earlier in the show. The NBA is usually pretty good at this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Them putting the draft lottery on Mother's Day at noon.
Dumbest.
I'm not kidding you, and there's going to be other examples you could throw at me. It's one of the worst decisions I've ever seen a league made. This is the most anticipated draft. I mean, I know Cooper Flagg was a big deal. The Wemby one was a big deal. But in terms of depth of this draft.
It's a pretty loaded,
like, this feels
draft.
Like even if you end up with a 7th or 8th pick, you're like, dude, we could still get a franchise
a really
player here, right?
Yeah.
And not have to take a roll of the dice on somebody. And who knows if that actually ends up being what the draft looks like down the road when we evaluate the class. Them putting burying it on a Sunday is one of the, like, just wait till today, tonight. Do it tomorrow night. It's a Tuesday night in between two games. Do like the stupid, you know, the college football playoff rankings that happen in between the college basketball games?
Yeah.
Where they're like randomly in Chicago at the United Center. It's like, this is weird. But they make you watch the game.
But it's an actual program. Like, yes, it's not like, a rush.
Okay, team by team.
Yeah, they don't do, here's the 12. Okay, coming up next, Kansas, Kentucky. It's like a legitimate rollout. One by one reaction.
Yes.
One by one reaction. One by one reaction. One by one commercial. Thoughts.
Yeah.
Thoughts.
Yell about this. Yell about
that.
Yeah,
like, yeah, they give us actual stuff. They make it a program. I missed the memo of when they announced that they were going to do this show on Mother's Day.
I had no idea until like a week and a half ago. It was like, because we're not in the lottery this year. I'm sure we would have known the date closer if we had not made the playoffs and we were a lottery team of like, all right, when do I need to sit around my TV and watch? But even then, I don't know if I would have, because it was a Sunday. It was definitely not that last year. I remember it being a weeknight last year, because I remember walking around the neighborhood with the kiddo watching it on my phone as we did not move up. I can't remember if we fell, but ending with the 11th overall pick. This is the point of the NFL, though. They're going to milk this all week, and every time they release something, it's going to get a reaction out of me. I don't know if it will every sports fan,
yeah,
but you bet your ass I saw that first Sunday night schedule announced earlier, and I'm like, oh, all right, Cowboys and Giants, straight out of Central Casting, but nonetheless, it's going to be fun and entertaining, and they're going to do it all week long. So Thursday is the official release. We'll get little tidbits throughout the course of the week.
Remember, that's that first game, that Caleb and Seattle game is going to be a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you're going to have the Niners Thursday, because they'll be in Australia. And
technically Friday morning for them, I believe.
Yeah, for them, but for us, right, it'll be Thursday night. So are you willing to like go as far as to say Carrie Underwood over Hank Williams Jr.?
No.
You can't.
I won't do that.
Okay.
Does anybody else have a theme song in the NFL like that?
No, because CBS just does the CBS music, and the Fox music. Just does the music.
Fox just has the robots.
Sometimes you get like...
The new Monday Night song kind of sucks, and I love Chris Stapleton. It's too much. It's In the Air Tonight, and it's him, and then it's Snoop rapping, and I'm like, this is such an ESPN thing.
Well, college football tried this with Post Malone a couple years ago.
They did. They had the game day 1 year ago with Big and Rich. They did Come Into Your City. That
coming
was their
to
big
your city.
That was their big one.
Yeah.
I mean, look, All My Rowdy Friends Are Coming Over Tonight will always be the GOAT.
Your team being named with the All My Rowdy Friends was like...
The Giants and the Niners! Like, it just, perfect, right?
Yeah.
But it's number two. Number two on my big board.
Yeah, but I think we're also concluding it's only a two-person race, so...
Three. It's better than Coming to Your City.
But you're adding college football into it. There's only two in the NFL.
That's true. That's
so, true. Okay, would you rather have no singing and have the Fox theme song? Or have singing.
Give me the combo of NBCs over the robots. And I love Fox's intro. Don't get me wrong. It's solid.
I mean, you don't even need... I don't need lyrics to
It's
this.
Just over quick. They just show a graphic. They pan down. Welcome to San Francisco. Feels good, doesn't it?
We should make a TikTok dance to NFL theme songs.
I think we just need to do this maybe once a month until we get to football season. Of just having a segment where we play the theme music.
This never does anything for me.
No.
Like, oh, Jags Broncos, how exciting.
Jim! It's a big day on Jim!
Tony, what do you think here?
I don't know, Jim. They can run it, they can throw it.
Big down, Jim!
Third down. Third downs are big. That's always good.
This is something to do. This
it's
is
always
a
good.
Monday appointment television hits you. It's kind of a consistent theme of our show is we love to randomly just play these themes. It makes me feel so good.
It makes a move for everybody.
It does.
I got one other bit of NFL news for you. And that is that we had a signing today. There are still available players. Did you know that? Not everybody's been scooped up. We haven't even fully completed the offseason yet. The L.A. Chargers have made a move. They've signed David Njoku from the Cleveland Browns on a one-year, $8 million deal. Remember, they drafted Aronde Gadsden last year, who had a really good rookie year for them, over 600 yards and three TDs as a rookie tight end. And so now they've added another weapon for McDaniel, who he's always interesting to me. Like, I've been watching a couple of his press conferences lately. He's just an interesting cat, and he talked about going back, and he's watched on film multiple times every throw that Justin Herbert's made in his career, which would be funny to think about how many attempts that actually is going back however many years it's been now, five or six he's been in the league. But another weapon for an offense that's looking to improve and kind of reload and revamp with a new offensive coordinator, and it seems like a nice low-risk 1 year, doesn't work out, fine, $8 million, not that much, and if Njoku gives you a ton, then it's a nice swing.
Njoku, for me, is all-time looks better than he plays athlete.
Tend to agree with you.
Now, you can come up with different versions of these in the NBA or Major League Baseball. Like, who are the athletes you think of that when you see them, you go, yeah, oh, my God, he's going to be unstoppable. And then you watch them play and you go, why don't you do more? Because David Njoku walking in with only basically the Bane coat and no shirt.
He's yoked, yeah.
He's absolutely shredded and yoked, and he burned his face this year, so he had to wear a weird mask. He like came in like a supervillain.
Yeah, he's getting off the bus first.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's he, 6'4", 270 or 250 or whatever, something crazy?
But, I mean, imagine in high school a kid like that walks off the bus and you got to face him. You're like, oh, my God, he's going to destroy us. And then he gets out there and he has like one catch for 7 yards. You're like, he didn't do anything, actually.
That's a good question about other sports that applies to.
The all-time looks athlete doesn't play how they look.
You line up across from him and you're intimidated, or your team's playing and you're like, oh, my God, how are we going to stop this guy? And then there's nothing really there.
He can have big games, which makes you go, oh, you do have it in you, and then he'll just disappear for 3 weeks.
The only question I'll ask on Njoku, because I don't disagree with the point, his best year was 2023. He's a Pro Bowler at 800 yards. He's been in the league longer than I would have remembered, too, since 2017.
Yep.
But he's only 29, so he came in at a younger age. The only thing that I would say, though, is like
the Cleveland thing.
Yeah, it's like last year it was Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders and Joe Flacco throwing him the ball.
But the ceiling.
So that's
of
the
it,
only part. Of
what's
it.
The ceiling of it to you, though? Even if it's in a good
2023,
spot.
Like if you could get that, if you could get 600 yards and make him a good red zone target as a number two tight end, because I do think that they like Gadsden there. He had a better year than Njoku last year as a rookie with as many if not more touchdowns. So I think it's just to me $8 million isn't much. It gives you another piece that you can plug in, and I certainly see the point about the production not being great, but I also, it doesn't help when Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel are your quarterbacks as rookies.
Yasiel Puig could be in this conversation.
Yasiel Puig is a great one. By the way,
a great one?
A great one. I got a anecdote on the other side of this on Yasiel Puig.
Puig is a great one.
He's been a rabbit.
Didn't he lose his lawsuit?
He's been in the news lately. I'll tell you what he's up to.
Arrested or something.
He's in the news. And will this league ever implement this? Doubtful, but man, would it be great. Next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. Happy Monday morning, everybody.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine, in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Saw this over the weekend, not that I was watching, but it's one of those clips that makes the rounds, and I thought, whoa, is that going to be the latest case study in something that we steal? There is a league out there that exists basically for one reason, and one reason only. Now, I'm sure there's a player or two that has made the move from this league to the bigger league. I just can't name any of them off the top of my head. Maybe you can. But the UFL is back, and they are playing football. I don't know if you're aware of this. The league has made its return.
Couldn't name a single player in that league, but if you told me a name that
I'm sure a
fizzled
couple of kickers
out, I'd go,
or something.
Oh, okay, that guy.
Yeah, that guy's probably playing. Sure. The only thing that it has led to, largely in terms of impacting the football world, has been what?
Stealing their ideas.
Rule changes. Does it work? Oh, that was kind of cool. Let's do that in our league, right?
Right.
They did one this weekend that I feel like the odds of this actually happening are 0%.
Okay.
But by golly, would it make for an incredible television. So I don't even know who was playing. I can't tell you about what the call was. I can give you no context behind this other than playing the clip. That's all I got for you.
How in a world that wants to fire people for AI or shut something down or restaurants randomly just closing that you got no wind of, how is this league still alive? Nobody goes to the games.
I don't know.
There's not a, not on a soul, but nobody watches these games.
Right.
There is no, I can't name.
I don't get it.
Is the Stampede a team?
I don't know.
Are the Birmingham Big Backs a team? I don't know the names of these things. I cannot believe this league is still around. I don't know how anybody operates this league.
They are averaging through 2026.
This is the live golf of football.
I think that's what it says. Yeah, through the first half of the 2026 season, I don't know how many games they played.
This is money laundering? I don't know how it works.
631 average viewers, 631,000 viewers per game.
I mean, shame on all 1,631,000 people for spending any amount of their time on that. I guess watch what you want to watch.
You do you, boo.
I'd rather personally be in a porn vortex than watch whatever it is that football league pretends to be in.
What helps ease the pain
but
of a triple
back? If you want to watch the Birmingham Big Backs, you do what you do. I'm watching a different Big Back. I don't get how this league is still around.
Take your hands and put it down your pants.
I didn't know it was still around until you mentioned it to start the segment.
I got to be honest with you. I mean, I knew that it still existed. I didn't know that they were playing games yet. And the only reason I pulled the audio was for the reason that there's audio here.
We're going to steal something?
It'll never be stolen, but just tell me how great this would be. So this is from one of their games. There's a call that's made on the field. I'm assuming a controversial call. I don't even know what the call was because I wasn't watching.
But it's controversial in nature.
Controversial in nature.
It sounded like there was a pass opportunity to call pass interference, okay. And they did not, is what I took from
so
it.
So this game's on Fox Sports. You know who the sideline guy is for UFL games on Fox Sports?
Christine Leahy.
Our guy, Brock Heward.
Brock Heward.
Our guy, Brock Heward's doing sidelines for the UFL.
I mean, get the paycheck, dude. I do sidelines for the UFO if they called me tomorrow because, yeah, I'll take a free paycheck.
And who did the sideline reporter get an interview with in the middle of the game?
The coach.
The lead official.
Bill DeLeon had some conversations with Ricky Prohl about a penalty or not a penalty Ricky with Prohl's these contested throws, especially to Hakeem. How do you judge that?
If there's a back shoulder and I'm looking at that and, you know, there's no material restriction, I'm just going to leave it alone, to be honest with you.
So if the throw is not where it should be, if that throw's not there, you're not going to reward a poor throw on something like that?
Yeah, that works. That works for me.
How difficult is that call? Is that pass interference versus a contested catch?
I know where you're going, and I'm just going to stop you now. Don't want it.
You don't want an interview with the official in the middle of a game?
No.
Halftime running off the field?
Not at all.
So no roughing the passer there on third down?
No.
No. Nothing.
Not interested.
Oh, okay.
You want this?
I think it'd be incredible, yeah.
Why? Did you hear his answers? He basically was like, that works.
I mean, look, it doesn't
He's
mean...
He's right. Back shoulder throws are happening. We've been saying this for years. Throw a short pass. Have your guys conditioned to run into the defender to act as if he's going to go back and catch it.
Oh, yeah.
Get
it's
knocked down, get a
challenging
flag.
To call.
Yeah. And what did he say? Oh, back shoulder, bad throw. Yeah, that works. Like, you're just going to get those. He's not going to go into depth. They're not going to explain everything. You're not going to like the answer half the time.
No, probably not. I don't think it's not going to be the most entertaining thing in the world, and it's not about, to me, it's not about even getting the right answer out of them. It's about having a profession that does not ever have to be held accountable.
Start with the Supreme Court, and then we'll work our way down to...
Yeah, I mean, I would love for that to be held accountable, too. But, you know, if some butts were candies and nuts, right? Like, we're doing a sports show talking about officials. I think I hate the idea that...
I see what Ricky Prohl's doing in this game.
I love the idea of being able to ask them questions. I think it's ludicrous that you have a profession that's tied into the outcomes of the game.
Sure.
That can make a call or not make a call that impacts careers, legacies, right? Like, it's not always coming down to one call, but there's a lot of controversial calls that go this way or that way, and there's never any level of transparency. And so, I know it's not going to happen. I know it wouldn't be the best TV, and I think you're right. In most cases, it would probably leave us more frustrated than not. Mm-hmm. I hate the fact that there are people who get to run on the field, make calls for a game, run off the field. If a coach makes a bad decision, what does he have to do? If a player makes a mistake in the game, what does he have to do? Kevin Pritchard, the GM of the Pacers, sent out a tweet over the weekend saying, oopsies, my bad, we don't have a top five pick anymore. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, we never get to sit down with an official and say, hey, why the hell did you call roughing the passer when a guy got breathed on 3rd and 15 that gave an automatic first down in the fourth quarter that led to the game-winning drive? That impacted the game greatly in the end of it. And I just, to me, having the ability to ask them a question, there's so many calls that happen throughout the course of an NFL game that we are left yelling at our television. And having this, like, at the end of the quarter of, like, hey, Bill, what'd you see there? And it might not be a great answer. I just think the transparency would be entertaining.
So he is, I looked him up. Ricky Prohl's the St. Louis Battlehawks coach. If you didn't know what the St. Louis
I had
team name was,
no idea.
Look, I hear what you're saying. I see this in the NBA mostly because it's a little more than the NFL, right?
Like, they do a last 2 minute report after games.
Yeah, and sometimes you get to have the pool reporters pick one person to ask like two questions max. Yeah. They don't do press conferences in the traditional standard way. And I never find those answers because I usually almost read them. If there's ever a moment mm-hmm. where the pool reporters can get to the ref.
The NBA is the only one that transparent because they'll at least in the 2 minute report tell you when they screwed up. Like that shouldn't have been called a foul or that was called a
okay,
foul.
Okay, so like, but do you like the last 2 minute report the NBA does? Do you like when they come out and they say, hey, this wasn't a foul or they missed the foul? Or
yeah, I don't watch them all because I don't care about that many regular season games.
Well, the last
games.
2 minutes aren't press conferences. They just release the statements.
I love it when it's my team involved and there's a bad call, at least acknowledging that, dude, we screwed that up or we should have called that. Either way, or that call was correct and I disagreed with it at the time, but they come out and say it was correct.
I just think I get where you're coming from. Like, accountability is important. We do hold the coaches and the athletes and the GMs and whatnot, like, far more accountable. I think the hard thing that I have seen happen with this, if you ever implemented it on the professional level in, like, the real football league, you're going to ask a guy why he felt that was pass interference. And he's going to tell you, from the perspective of having to keep up with running with the 4-4 guys,
yeah,
I saw contact that was a little more than incidental. I threw the flag. And that's not going to leave you satisfied.
No.
So I guess I just don't think there's anything to gain from it.
I also think that not every call is a 50-50 judgment call running at full speed.
No, but a lot of these guys get sent tape and they have to study and like learn from it. Or you see how it plays out in the NFL when they get to the playoffs. They strip...
Sure.
Guys away from well, you don't get to call games.
Right.
There's only certain refs that are gonna get to call the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Other refs aren't gonna get that reward. That's how they have to learn from this, not so much the public already knows these guys' names.
They do.
Yeah. It's like we already kind of do this. We make signs about them, we make fun of them, we name them. I hate when this guy refs my team's game. I don't think answers are gonna change how you feel. They're gonna tell you, oh,
it's not about changing how you feel. It's not even about getting the answer that you want. It's just simply about transparency, of having to answer a question.
But if we're not going to be happy about their transparency, we're just going to say he's protecting his own ass.
Yeah.
And then we're not going to view it as transparency.
Then we can get more angry with them for protecting their own ass after making a bad call. To me, I get the pass interference one. I just think that's a bad, like, those are so judgmental and not easy to call
holding
in any
calls.
Way. Holding calls are difficult.
They're very difficult.
The main ones that I think of in the modern NFL are roughing the passer calls and why some quarterbacks get calls and why others don't get calls. Why you can have a guy get hammered across the face with a forearm or one guy gently pushed down to the ground and get called 15 yards. Those are not judgment calls. Those are not running at full speed. Those are not your sprinting. Those are your standing 10 yards behind the play, and you decided to protect a certain player and not protect another player.
Yeah.
And the transparency thing to me has always bothered me. And again, it's not about getting the answer that you want, because you're never going to get the answer that you want, and you're never going to get the benefit of every call. It's just simply about the idea of, must be nice to work in a profession where you can make a massive mistake mm-hmm. and not have to answer for it in the outcome of the game.
Well, yeah, and the outcome of the
game. How many NFL officials get fired every year?
I don't know, but there's officials that go away.
Do they? Where do they go? Do we dump their body in the marsh?
Well, yeah. Not every official is the same official for the last 15 years.
Well, no, sure. There's guys that retire.
They call up new ones every year.
Yeah,
there's some
guys that
cycle retire.
Out.
I would like to see. I'm surprised that the players' associations in their collective bargaining agreements haven't started insisting at they're part of the evaluation process after the season. I know in the season you don't want to do it like game to game, but in the off season. I don't know why the players' associations don't start saying we need to be part of the evaluation process for next season. And if there are certain officials that we say as a collective body aren't cutting the mustard or they don't get it or they're causing more problems.
Yeah, they should be polled on it.
They need to get the hell out.
Yeah, give us the name and then have people vote on how they feel about them. Like, I'm okay with that accountability. I don't think being interviewed mid-game by the sideline guy's going to get you anything.
And he looked quite perturbed. If you see
he
the
didn't
video.
He did say anything. He goes, it was like, a short throw, not going
to
reward.
Dude, Brock, you're in my way. I'm trying to get ready for the next
I love making him look perturbed.
Man, I didn't know you cared this much about the officials.
It's not that it's like
I just think it's a hard sport to officiate at that speed.
They're all hard to officiate, man.
I know.
Try calling 100 mile per hour
and half
pitch
the time,
on the black.
Our industry spends half of their content bitching and moaning about it as if they could do a good job. It's
oh,
a really hard
idea.
Thing to do.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the answer you're happy with. So I guess I just, what's the end goal there?
I love, like, in baseball this year, having the ability to overturn calls with the ABS system is perfect. It's an immediate rebuke of a call that is made that I like having the ability to do. And I know that's not an apples to apples comparison, but it's holding them accountable in front of 40,000 people when there's a lot of bad calls that happen throughout the course of a game.
Yeah.
And you get to immediately say, nope. And then the umpire looks like an idiot. And everybody's going to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It's just simply the point, again, that if players make a mistake or coaches make a mistake, we criticize them.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't usually happen. It's not that we don't criticize the officials, but we don't have the public way to do it. And so maybe it's not the right way. It'll never happen in the NFL. That much I know. I just found that interesting that we actually got an on-field interview with an official in the aftermath
Brock
of the game.
Brock Heward on the interview.
Brock Heward was out there, man. We got more football stuff to get to. We'll get back into the NBA coming up top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
So back to a segment from a little bit ago, we were talking about Njoku signing with the Chargers and the idea of the intimidating guy getting off the bus.
The guy that looks the best but never is the best.
Yes, like DK Metcalf got texted in. I think that's a little unfair to DK Metcalf, where he maybe isn't. He's not considered one of the best wide receivers in the league, but he's had some really good years.
I mean, if you built a receiver physically, he would look like the greatest of all time, but he's still like, he's been pretty good.
He's been pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's, again, I'm excited about Njoku to the Chargers because I think there is a little bit more there than the Browns have been able to get out of him because they haven't had a functioning thrower of the football in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like DK Metcalf has 1,000-yard seasons and big numbers, and I know he didn't jump off the page necessarily last year. But again, back to the quarterback conundrum.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Yasiel Puig, which sent me down a remembering to bring this up rabbit hole. Are you aware of what Yasiel Puig is doing right now?
Is it tax evasion?
It is not. Well, he might be evading his taxes.
I thought
that
there
much,
was something he got found guilty of, and he's going to prison, isn't he?
Well, not anytime soon because he's currently playing baseball in Canada. I'm telling you, that's some of the funniest videos you'll ever see. Search Yasiel Puig on Twitter.
Okay,
and the videos will come up. Like, this is not old video. This is happening right now. He is playing in the Canadian Baseball League.
Yeah.
I don't know if he plays for Toronto or Kitchener, I believe is the name of the other city.
Second homer of the day.
Dude, I'm not kidding. It's like in a public park in Canada. He's playing. It looks like it's just like you're at.
How much does he get paid?
You can't make that much money. I can't imagine. It's a lot.
He also doesn't look like the Dodger Yasiel Puig.
He's not little, quite the Adonis that he used to be.
A little different
there. He's a little more portly than he was back in the day.
Is he
when
taking
Colin,
the Sean Kemp route?
Not quite Sean Kemp.
Colin
but,
Cowherd said he was the future of Major League Baseball.
Well, he also said LeBron is done at 33. Years old, so you know.
Let's see. You were right that he was found guilty of federal charges.
Yeah, what was that? That wasn't very long ago. I read
obstruction of justice, making false statements regarding his involvement in illegal sports gambling ring.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Yeah. He does face significant prison time.
Yeah, like people think he's going to go to prison.
Sentencing is May 26th, so he's just out playing
he's in a public
Canada.
Park until he gets locked up.
He hit two dingers yesterday. No big deal.
We're gonna have the longest yard Yasiel Puig edition.
Should it just. I saw some of these go viral over the weekend from different like baseball accounts that I follow, and I'm like, oh my god. Could you imagine you're just living in do you know where Kitchener is, Swag? Do you know is that a
I don't know where Kitchener is.
Okay,
no.
I'll see if I don't know what if he played because that's
province
the
it's in.
He's yeah.
He's on a team called the Leaves. That has to be the
Okay, he plays for the Maple Leafs.
They're
then?
Called the Toronto Maple Leafs,
okay.
The Canadian Baseball
okay.
League.
Kitchener is in Ontario. Kitchener
okay.
Ontario.
Nearby.
It's nearby. That's okay. Who they were playing.
Dude, that
and
guy
I just
held baseball by the balls.
He
when
did.
He came in,
and just thinking about like imagine in that moment saying that wasn't even that long ago because his career wasn't very long. I think he was only in the big leagues for like five,
yeah, he went
six
in
years.
Long. I want to say like five. Was
he
there
ended up
in COVID?
No, it was before COVID.
It was definitely before
okay.
COVID.
It was before
Let's see.
COVID.
I'm going to see if I can find
it. He didn't get a World Series ring.
I didn't think so, no. So it was, what, 7-8 years ago?
He was traded in 2019, right before they won that COVID title. He ended up 7 years in the big leagues total.
Did you almost get a Puig jersey? Were you tempted when you started?
I was considering.
Puig mania
like,
was
when
a thing.
He first burst huge. Onto the scene, it was equivalent to Fernando mania.
Yes.
When
yes.
Fernando's rookie year in like 81 or
every
whatever.
Every big hit that he had was like a walk-off home run. It was like every night for like
crazy.
A month he did something, a diving catch.
And
it was insane.
And then he'd do amazing stuff in the outfield, and then he'd do Manny Ramirez stuff in the outfield where he'd like throw to the other outfielder on the cutoff or something weird.
I just remember him and Bumgarner having some good battles.
Those
are some great memories back in the day. So, yeah, he played 7 years in the big – just imagine in that, like, 2014 phase. He, in 2014 – when he came up in 2013 – he had 319, 19 home runs, and 42 RBIs in 100 games.
Mm-hmm.
So you extrapolate that out. Like, think about what his numbers would have been. He was second in Rookie of the Year voting. He was an all-star the next year. Like, imagine at that moment saying, that was in 2014, so 12 years from now, this guy's going to be playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I'd be like, oh, he's playing hockey. And you go, it's park baseball in Canada.
He knows how to use ice skates,
He makes $35 a game.
I would totally be there, though. If I lived in Kitchener or Toronto and you're like, you got a chance to go, it looks like this is just a public park.
What is that salary?
let me see.
It looks like Delta Park he's playing.
It absolutely does. Let's see how much does a Canadian baseball player make.
There's no way that league, he's making like six figures.
They're paying him in loonies and toonies, right? Gets a bag of coins.
Gotta be. It's the only way.
Let's see. Salary. Yeah, not a lot.
How much?
Maximum salary of $4,000 a month, it looks like. Is that right? Salary structure.
That's more than I would have guessed.
They can pay $30,000 per month salary per team. So you can break it up however you want. You got $30,000 to spend for the month.
Yeah, it's about what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Even then, that's a little high.
Hey, go earn your money, man, before you go to prison for a while. So there's your Yasiel Puig update. You bringing that name up was kind of funny because I'd seen those videos over the weekend, and I'm like, we got to bring that up on the show. a random one for you that, again, I don't think will happen, but is there any thought in the back of our minds at all?
Mm-hmm.
Give it a percentage chance.
Uh-huh.
If it's zero, it's zero.
Yep.
Is there any chance that we are witnessing the final LeBron James game tonight?
No.
No chance at all?
I just will die on the hill of he's going to do the victory tour.
Okay, because they're not going to win tonight.
No.
No.
Breaking news. That series is over. And this will be the, like, that was, is their year's done.
No, I just okay. won't, and I will not refuse, I refuse to believe he doesn't have a victory
so tour. If that happened in the offseason, the level of shock would be a 100 out of 100 on the shock scale.
For me, it would be,
The Richter scale would explode.
I'll leave 1%.
1%
chance?
I'll
give you a single percent.
Even 1%, though, you're still like, holy
You're
crap.
Still incredibly shocked.
You're
it
very, very, very shocked, but I won't say it's an absolute, and that's just the nature
the
of it.
The amount of merch they're going to move on Goodbye King.
Yeah.
We witnessed like stuff like just off the cuff you could come up with of it being his last year.
That would be very un-LeBron James like to do it.
Yeah.
Would he earn any?
Yeah, I think there'd be people that would do it about
the anti-LeBron's
like,
of like if he just walked away in the middle of the night.
They're not going to make it about you.
Just get a Shams update after game 7 of the NBA Finals. It's like, oh, by the way, LeBron's retired.
We know what's going to happen tonight. They're going to lose.
He just does some, you know, random Instagram post or
what
something.
What if he just retired and disappeared?
Yeah.
Tom Brady won't go away. Can LeBron not be that goat?
He's going to show up at a roast, roasting people who are 5'4". In a
leather jacket, acting like he wrote his jokes.
I mean, look, LeBron is going to do tonight the most obvious thing. He's going to lose by 20 because his team's nowhere near that other team. And he's going to be incredibly cryptic and undefined on what his future is.
Yeah.
Then the articles will pop up tomorrow. They'll debate it on television all morning tomorrow. Was this it for the King? Should he retire? Do you go out like this? Do you try to go out on a title? Will the Lakers bring him back? That'll be half of the programming
Does
tomorrow.
His new team have to take Bronny?
Yep. Is Bronny a part of the deal?
Yeah.
Which the answer is yes.
Yes.
But then
tandem,
it's,
two for one.
It's just going to leave.
Sale.
The podcasts are going to do it. And then it's going to die out for a while. We'll do the NBA Finals, and then we'll get to the midsummer. And then July, it's going to start popping back up. Oh, he was on a 1 year. It's done with the Lakers. Or is he going to sign with the Lakers for minimum to allow him to get a star so he can be in a Laker uniform? Saying goodbye. It's the most obvious script that's happening.
I tend to agree with you. Just a thought I had. I looked at the slate for tonight. I'm like, oh, the Lakers are going to lose. Oh, is there any 41? Like, just any. It's just weird. That would be a very weird way for him to go out. unceremoniously. Because you think of a lot of guys in the, like Kobe's last game, I will never forget watching him going for 80. So last one for the Lakers tonight because they will get swept. We got some NBA stuff to get back into in the final hour of the show. I'm going to put the poll question of the day up, and that is on a departure from the Blazers organization. So we get to that. It's a loaded final hour on a Monday. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM The Fam.
I'm Mark Solinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.